Okay. Everybody hear me all right? Okay. You know, one of the things that I have noticed through the years, and I am 200-something years old now, but I've noticed, the older I get, that the more that we read the Bible, things we notice that we've never noticed before. You ever notice that? It's amazing. Never get to the point that we can say, well, I haven't learned something new. And in my private Bible study this week, I was studying and I was in the book of Matthew, and I was reading the Lord's Prayer, what we sometimes refer to as the Lord's Prayer. And as I read that, contemplated on it, I found some things in there that we all know. Jimmy actually in his prayer tonight even mentions several of them. But I thought I would just bring them up to you. I mean, it's nothing new, but yet it's something very relevant and something very important. It has to do with a prayer life and things that we should always be sure of, that when we pray, that we pray. I've noticed Ed sitting there. He does a good job with this, and I appreciate that, Ed. So if you turn to Matthew 6, we just want to look at five things very briefly about the Lord's Prayer that we should always include in our prayers. When the disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray, and you find this same thing taught, the same thing taught over in the book of Luke, and maybe the others, I don't remember. But as we read this, there are five things that I believe that we should include in our prayer in some format. So if you look, beginning with verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now it's interesting to note in that verse, Jesus did say, my Father which art in heaven. Now, God was Jesus' Father, right? But he didn't say, my Father. He said, our Father. And so when we pray, we need to recognize him as our Father. But more importantly, we need to recognize and praise him and offer praise to the Father. I grew up, as many of you did, reading strictly from the King James Version. That's what I grew up with. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with other versions, because I'm reading from the King James tonight, but the other versions, most of them, not all of them, but most of them are good. But there's some I wouldn't prefer for a lot of reasons. But we need to honor, praise, and glory and honor to God in our prayers. And some of the men here do a really good job with that. I mentioned Ed. He always does that. The word hallowed, hallowed be thy name. That is, holy be your name. Your name be worthy of praise. And we need to do that because he's our creator. He's our sustainer. He's our redeemer. And we need to recognize him as such. And so we need to, in our prayers, recognize and praise him for being our God, our only God, and give him the praise and honor that he's due. We worship not to please ourselves. We worship to please him. And unfortunately, nowadays, in many churches, it's more of a contest of who can entertain the audience the most. And a lot of people sort of look at it that way. It's an entertainment venue. But we don't pray to God for entertainment. We don't worship God for entertainment. We enter into praise and worship to God because he is due that. Because of who he is. And we need to recognize that. We should praise him for his love and his holiness and his grace and his kindness and his mercy. For he's the only one that can give those things and offer those things to us. And he promises that he will. If you look over in the book of Revelation, chapter 4, there's a passage over there I'd like you to look at just briefly. Revelation 4, verses 8 through 11. And this is talking, John was able to have a vision of seeing this, ability to see into heaven. And this is what he records. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who lives forever and ever, and the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And so in this scene, we see what they're saying. They're praising God, glorifying God. In our prayers, we need to do that. We need to recognize him for being who he is. Second thing, we should give priority to the kingdom. We should give priority to the kingdom. He says, down in verse 10 of Matthew chapter 6, we should pray, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now we understand and know, and Jimmy talked about this morning, the kingdom has already come, hasn't it? The kingdom is here. Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 16 that he would build his church. And it was Peter, you remember, when he asked, Who do men say that I am? And Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus goes on to say, Well, I'm going to build my church. The church and the kingdom are one and the same. And we find that on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, all of those who obeyed the gospel that day, they believed that they had crucified the Son of God and stood guilty for that. The Bible says that Peter told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And in verse 47, it says, And the Lord added to the church, that is the kingdom that Jesus came to establish, daily such as should be saved. So the saved are part of the kingdom. They're part of the church. Nowadays, in many churches, that's not taught anymore either. So we need to pray for the growth of the church. We need to pray for the growth of the kingdom. And then we need to do what we can do as a church and as individuals to cause that growth to come. And the only way I know that can be done, and Eddie talked about this morning in his Bible class, is that each one of us do what we can to teach others, to set examples for others, and show Christ in our lives. People need to understand the kingdom is here. A lot of people, a lot of these denominations out here are teaching they're still waiting for the kingdom, still waiting for the kingdom. But the kingdom's already here. Been here for 2,000 years, over 2,000 years now. And so the church and the kingdom are one and the same. So we should give priority to the kingdom. We don't need to pray, Thy kingdom come. The kingdom's come. It's here. Been here 2,000 years. But we do recognize the promise of Christ to build his church, to build his kingdom. And so that is true. So that's the second thing. We should give priority, he says, to the kingdom. Thy kingdom come, when he offers this teaching of praying. And then if you look down at verse 11, we should thank him for the basic necessities of life. Thank him for the basic, and in particular, he mentions here bread. But we need to thank him for all the necessities of life. Now, what are the necessities of life? Well, it's not a big screen TV. It's not a fast car. It's not a fine house. That's not the priorities of life. The priorities of life are food and shelter and clothing. Do what? Clothing. Food, shelter, clothing. And those are the priorities of life. We need to ask him to continue those basic necessities. Now, God already knows. Scripture tells us, if you look down about verse 32 and 33, he says in verse 31, take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things that the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father already knows that you have need of all these things. So if he knows that we already have need of all these things, why do we need to ask him? Well, we need to ask him to continue to bless us and give us the things that we stand in need of. Unfortunately, I believe a lot of times people get confused with that which we need as opposed to that which is a necessity. And a lot of people think that there's a lot of things that are necessities that aren't necessities at all. And we all can be guilty of that, I think. The Bible tells us that we need to always pray. And we sang a song a minute ago about that. If you'll turn to Philippians chapter 4, rather. I don't think Philippians has two books. If you look at chapter 4, down at verse 6, you know, why should we continue to pray? Why should our lives be filled with prayer, daily prayer? Well, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, he says, be careful for nothing. I believe what he's saying there, that's what the King James says. I believe what he's saying is don't worry about things. Don't worry about anything. Don't let care cause your faith to falter. But then he says, but in everything, here's the alternative to that. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Now, God already knows what we need, like I said. He knows what we're going to pray. But he still says, don't worry about things, but make your request to God, and he'll hear that request, and he'll take care of that request. Now, sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says wait a while. But God provides for our cares, doesn't he? I don't remember. I can remember some hard times, but I don't ever remember a day in my life that there wasn't some food on the table. And I don't remember a day in my life that I didn't have clothes to wear, and I can't remember a day in my life that I didn't have a roof over my head. Now, a whole lot of things that I thought I needed, and thankfully when I got a little older, I started to understand those weren't really needs. They were more things that I actually didn't need. But we need to pray to him to continue to bless us with our necessities. Number 4, verse 12. He says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We are to pray for forgiveness. We're to pray for forgiveness. Now, Jimmy made the comment in his prayer. We all sin, don't we? We're Christians, but we still sin. Now, we've been forgiven. Before we became Christians, we were out of Christ. We were out of the kingdom. But once we obeyed the gospel, our sins were forgiven. All of our past sins are gone. I've had people ask me, said, well, what about all these terrible things that I did? And I always bring up to them the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul, you remember, said he was the chiefest of sinners. And I think Paul carried that with him his whole life. He knew that he's forgiven. But still, what he'd done in the past is he stood and held the coat of Stephen while they stoned that man to death who was just preaching about the kingdom. That was still in his mind. He knew he'd been forgiven, but it still bothered him thinking back about what he'd done. But when we become a Christian, then we're forgiven of those. But we need to continually ask God to be merciful to us in our sins. Again, Jimmy's prayer tonight did that. If you look over the book of 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, very familiar passage, but a very comforting passage. If our salvation was, if our salvation was dependent on our own goodness, how good we could be, then we would be in pretty bad shape, wouldn't it? We'd be in terrible shape. But that's not what John tells us. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, that is, walk after Christ, Jesus said, I'm the light. Numerous times he said, I'm the light. He said, I'm the door. I'm the way. Numerous other things, but I'm the light. So if we walk in the light, that is, walk after Christ, follow Christ, as he's in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And the idea of cleanses us from all sins is a continual cleansing. A continual cleansing daily. And then he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We do not have to fear in the day of judgment that our sins would be brought up. If we've asked for forgiveness of those sins, God is faithful and just. He says to forgive us, and his blood will continually cleanse us of sins. When God forgives a sin, he forgets. Now, we don't do that too well, do we, sometimes? But God forgets. He forgives and he forgets. He's just not going to bring it up to our charge because of Christ. And then he says, if you go back to Matthew 6 again, he says, in the last two verses that Jimmy read, in verse 13 and 14, he said, or 14 and 15, then we're going to go back to verse 13 lastly. For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's a serious thing to hold grudges. It's a serious thing to hold a grudge to anybody. And I've known people in life that went through their entire life holding grudges. That's a terrible way to live. It's an unhappy way to live. I'll tell you a little story, true story. About 2 years before I retired, I don't think I've ever made this comment before, but if I have, just forgive me for old age or senility or whatever you want to call it. But about 2 years before I retired, I was working and on my agency, and I went to see this lady, and I always carried a Bible with me in the car, because I never knew when I'd have the opportunity to have a Bible study. He said, "You mean tell me you were doing Bible studies when you were working?" Sure did, every chance I got. But see, I worked on my own. I didn't have anybody standing over me saying, "Do this, do that, do this, do that." I had pretty free in nature as far as how many hours a day I worked and where I worked, where I went. But anyway, I went to this lady's house, and for some reason, I don't remember how it even came up, she brought up that she and her daughter had not spoken to each other in over 20 years. She'd never seen her grandchildren. And I asked her, I said, "Well, why is it that you haven't seen your daughter in 20 years and you've never seen your grandchildren? What happened?" She said, "Oh, 20 years ago, we had a fuss and fight, and we just hadn't spoken to each other over the last 20 years. I said, "Well, what was the argument about?" She said, "I don't remember." She said, "I don't remember." And I thought a minute, and I asked her two questions. And I got a couple of questions I'd like to ask you. I said, "First of all, if your daughter died today, would you go to her funeral?" And she thought about that a minute. And she said, "Yeah, I probably would." I said, "If you died today, do you think she'd come to your funeral?" And she thought about that a minute. She said, "Yeah, she probably would." I said, "Well, I'm going to give you a piece of advice, up to you whether or not you keep it or not. But when I leave here, and before this day's up, you need to pick up." I said, "Have you got her phone number?" "Yeah, I got her phone number." I said, "Pick up the phone her, and y'all meet, and y'all work this thing out. Because one of those two is going to happen. Either you're going to die first and she's going to be standing over your casket wishing that this grudge had been gone a long, long time ago. Or you're going to stand over her casket and you're going to wish this grudge had been gone a long, long time ago. And she's going to wish that she'd let you see the grandchildren, and you're going to wish that all this time period had gone by that you hadn't seen your grandchildren. You need to get rid of grudges. It's not worth it. Not in this life. It's not. There's not a grudge worth living like that." So I left. Got a phone call the next day. She said, "Mr. Cordell, I just thought I'd give you a call. I called my daughter this morning, and we're going to meet for lunch today, and we're going to get everything worked out." And then she called me later, about 2 days later, and said, "Well, we met, and everything's just fine." Well, that wasn't anything of me. It was just giving some advice for what it's worth, hoping she'd listen. But we can't go through life not forgiving people. Because if we don't forgive people, we won't be forgiven, Jesus says. The last one is, lead us not in temptation, he says. Well, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I believe what Jesus is saying is that we should ask the Lord for his protection from evil. Now, God's not going to lead us into temptation. He's not going to put something in front of us and lead us into that. The Bible says our temptations come from doing the wrong, saying the wrong things, being in the wrong places, and that kind of thing. Look at James. But he does protect us from the consequences of those being in those situations. And he can protect us from getting in situations over which we have no control. So sometimes that happens. We should ask for protection. Be alert. I believe the wrote this down. Be alert of the spiritual battle that is all around us, and ask God for protection from temptation and strength through the Holy Spirit to overcome the trials that we face. I was talking to Jimmy and Eddie. When did we meet? Was it Monday night? Or I was showing that newspaper article. Monday night. I'm going to share something with you. Did any of you get the Observer? Nobody gets the Observer anymore? Well, you're well off without it. I still get it, and there's a reason I get it. But there was an article. I'm going to share this with you. And I've had people tell me, oh, we don't have any problems in Fairview. We don't have any. This is a small town. And we don't have any of this stuff in Nashville and Fairview that they see in Nashville and all around the nation. Read you an article. Short. Dalton Stevens, and I don't mind, it's just what it says. I'll just read what it says. Dalton Stevens knew he looked incredible. Now, this occurred at Franklin High School. The 18-year-old Franklin High School senior was dressed up in a floor-length red gown and 6-inch heels, which he planned to wear to his school's prom. He wasn't just looking to turn heads with a stunning prom outfit. He wanted to break the stigma around men wearing dresses. Every person is beautiful, and especially with clothing. It is cloth and has no gender. It truly is genderless, Stevens told the Tennessean. Just wear what makes you happy and what makes you feel beautiful. Just wear what makes you happy. Just do whatever it is that makes you happy. That's what he's saying. While several people complimented his outfit at the dinner before the dance, not everyone was pleased. As Stevens and his date wrapped up their photos, a man, Sam Johnson, the former CEO of a telehealth company, who was removed from his leadership role after a video of him went viral. He spoke out against homosexuality, and they fired him. That's what happened. I remember that. He berated Stevens for wearing the dress, told him he looked like an idiot. Well, that probably wasn't a good thing to do, but that's what he said. And he berated Stevens for wearing the dress and told him he looked like an idiot. A video of the incident captured by Stevens' boyfriend showed Johnson following Stevens around and taking a swipe at his phone. Then it went on to say, very briefly, "It didn't let it ruin my night," Stephen said. "I still walked into that school knowing I was wearing a dress with 6-inch heels and was serving all the looks. And anybody who wants to look can look. A guy can look just as hot in a dress as a girl can." Now, that's what was the article. And there's a picture in here of it, if you want to see it, of him and his boyfriend and him in his dress. Now, that's right here in our own county. I believe I told Jimmy and Eddie it was in Fairview, at the Fairview, but well, it was Franklin. I was arid in that. But that's close enough. We live in a very sinful world, don't we? And we need in our prayers to ask the Lord, be gracious to us and help us when we pray, face those temptations, face those problems, face that kind of stuff, to give us the strength through the Holy Spirit to turn away from it. And he'll do that. And that's what he says here. He says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. So these are just some of the 5 things I noticed in the prayer that we've already doing. You know, praising the Father, giving thanks to the Father, seeking pardon for our sins, asking for protection from evil, and giving priority to the kingdom. We live in a time that the world seems to be getting worse and worse, and fewer people are concerned about the spiritual, the eternal things, the things that will last. And I just wonder sometimes in the day of judgment, where the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess the Lord. At that time, when that occurs, and God brings judgment upon this world, but at the same time brings salvation to those who have lived for the Lord through the blood of Christ and the grace that He's given to us, then what will those who haven't done that think then? If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, I think everybody in here is, but if there's anybody here that needs prayers of the church, anything we can do for you, if you'll let it be known when we stand by coming down front, or then we'll be glad to do what we can for you, to pray with you and for you about that. Brother Todd?